Welcome to Pitcot Podcast.
Hello, everyone.
Today, we are taking a deep dive into something that touches everyone's life. It usually causes this mix of anxiety, financial strain, and, you know, ultimately, clutter.
You're talking about gift giving.
The seemingly simple act of giving gifts.
It's the silent budget killer for so many of us, isn't it? I mean, we start the year with good intentions.
Yeah.
But as the birthdays stack up and the holidays loom,
you default.
You default to the most expensive, quickest solution. That panicked last-minute purchase is almost always a financial mistake.
Exactly. And what we found in the source material from Pitcot, which guides this whole deep dive, is a truly systematic approach that promises to flip that script.
It really does.
We are talking about implementing a strategy that's designed to save you, the listener, potentially up to $1,000 a year.
And crucially, without ever giving a gift that feels cheap.
That's the part that really got me.
That's the core shift. We aren't focusing on spending less money just for the sake of, you know, austerity. We are deliberately changing the goal from spending the most money to dedicating the most thought and strategic planning.
So thoughtfulness becomes the new currency.
Exactly. The Pitcot framework, which is distilled from their resources, makes thoughtfulness the primary currency.
So our mission today is to pull out those specific actionable principles, planning, creativity, and persistent care that allow for stress-free giving and keep that bank account beautifully healthy.
And this isn't just a theory.
No, it's a proven process.
It's amazing how much pressure just lifts when you know exactly what you're doing months in advance. That pressure is what causes all the budget failures.
It truly is. And if you're looking to implement the exact templates and, you know, the tools we discussed today, you can gain further insights by visiting www.pitcot.com/ebooks.
Right now.
Yeah. You can download the bestseller ebooks. They walk you through this planning process step by step.
And while you're getting organized, please take a moment to subscribe to our channel if you haven't and activate that notification bell.
That way you don't miss our new uploads. We want to be your regular shortcut to being well-informed.
Okay, let's get into it.
Let's unpack the system. We'll start with the very first step, which is all about building the necessary strategic foundation.
The goal here is simple. Eliminate last-minute scrambling and that impulsive spending.
And the Pitcot method starts with something called the Tickler file system.
Now, I have to admit, when I first read about this, I thought, 12 physical folders. In a world of digital calendars, is this a bit antiquated?
That's a fair challenge. I thought the same thing. Why insist on an analog system when we all carry a digital calendar in our pocket?
But the physical action is the point. When you're dealing with something you want to avoid, like spending money digital reminders, you just
write them away.
You swipe them away. It's notification fatigue. The physical folder forces you to engage. Once a month, you pull it out, and you are literally forced to see the names, the dates, and most importantly,
the budget.
The budget.
It makes the planning feel like a tactile ritual. So inside the May folder, for instance, you're slotting in all the critical dates, birthdays, anniversaries, a graduation party.
Yes, but the crucial step that elevates this from just a filing system to a strategic tool is what you attach to that date.
The firm budget.
The firm budget. You don't just write May Mom's birthday. You write May Mom's birthday, $30.
And that $30 is your hard limit, decided weeks or months in advance when you're thinking rationally, not emotionally.
That advanced planning is brilliant. It tackles the psychology of the purchase. We usually set a budget, right?
Right.
But then as the deadline gets closer and you feel that social pressure, your brain tells you the budget you set is too little.
So that's the strict budget principle in action. It's probably the most challenging part of the whole system.
It is, but it's also the most rewarding. You mentioned that jump from, say, $25 to $50. Why does that happen? Because we wait, anxiety spikes, and we instinctively associate a higher cost with a higher value.
Just to relieve the pressure.
Exactly. But the Pitcot framework insists that if the plan says $25, you stick to $25. You're shopping to fulfill a planned purchase, not to solve an anxiety attack.
I like that framing. The satisfaction then comes from finding something perfect within that constraint.
That feeling of hitting your strategic goal is far more rewarding than the temporary relief of overspending. You shift from impulse spending to planned, purposeful shopping.
And to help manage the overall cash flow for the year, especially for those big year-end holidays, the system advocates for creating what they call the gift bank.
This is such a smart preventative measure. It stops you from dipping into savings or, even worse, going into debt right before the holidays. It's all about smoothing out your cash flow.
It's a secret savings fund, totally separate from your other savings. And the math is so simple, they recommend dropping just $10 to $20 into it every single month.
Think about that.
Wow.
Even at the minimum, $10 a month, that's $120 ready to spend by December 1st.
All ring-fenced just for gifts.
And if you manage 20 a month, you have 240. That money is already accounted for. It removes the stress of trying to find it during the most expensive time of the year.
It's all about eliminating that rush and the financial shock.
So once the planning foundation is solid and the money is stashed, the next battle is execution.
Right. How do we make sure we don't accidentally sabotage our own budget when we hit the stores? Let's move into the shopping and tracking tactics.
This is where we leverage smart timing and financial tools to maximize every single dollar that's already in that tickler file budget.
The first tactic is shopping early and seizing sales. This sounds obvious, but we often default to buying gifts the month they are needed.
Which is exactly when demand and prices are at their highest.
Ex
The pro tip here is to be utterly ruthless about exploiting seasonality. Retailers don't price things based on when you need them. They price them based on their inventory cycles.
So Black Friday isn't just for TVs.
Not at all. It's the perfect time to grab high-quality stationery, winter accessories, or certain gourmet food items that you'll need for birthdays in the spring.
Or even the end-of-season sales in January. You can grab beautiful scarves or tools at 40% to 60% off and just stash them in the folder for a birthday in July.
The goal is clear: buy the gift, the wrapping paper, and the card when they are deeply discounted.
But this is where technology becomes crucial. You can't stash something away for 9 months without forgetting you bought it.
Which brings us to the next tactic: using technology to maintain visibility. You have to track those hidden savings.
So we need a central digital hub. The source material suggests a simple spreadsheet or tools like Trello or Notion. What are the essential things we have to track?
You need four key data points. First, the recipient and the date. Second, the budgeted amount from your tickler file. Third, the actual spend.
And fourth,
a column for stashed location.
Oh, I love that, the stashed location column. I will admit, I have doubled up on a gift before because I forgot where I put the first one 6 months prior.
It's an embarrassing and costly mistake. We've all been there.
Yeah.
So that tracking prevents buying the same book twice or thinking you still need a gift for Uncle John, only to realize it's hidden in the back of your closet. It keeps your spending visible.
And on the financial optimization side, Pitcott also emphasizes leveraging existing resources. This is about maximizing every transaction.
Right. If you're going to spend the money anyway, you might as well extract every possible saving.
So using cashback apps, searching for coupons online before checkout.
Turning those small savings into a habit. But maybe the most insightful tip here is the redemption strategy. Consciously redeeming reward points from credit cards, specifically for gift cards.
Ah, so you're turning loyalty programs into a dedicated gift fund.
You are. You're effectively making every gift purchase cost less than its retail value. You're changing shopping from a simple expenditure into a calculated savings exercise.
This strategic approach is incredibly empowering. But the real game changer in this whole system and where we unlock the emotional maximum is shifting the focus entirely.
Yes.
But before we dive into prioritizing meaning over monetary value, for those who want to explore more of the systems that Pitcott has developed for financial and organizational health, we encourage you to visit www.pitcott.com for more insights.
Okay, moving into our third section, we're exploring value beyond cost. This is where you truly cut that $1,000 because it's based on creativity and the lasting impact of memories.
Let's start with the emotional weight of homemade means more. The source material explains that the emotional value of a DIY item can far outweigh anything mass produced.
It's the investment of time, which is perceived as a much scarcer, more valuable resource than money. Think about the high-thought, low-cost examples.
Like a beautifully layered jar of cookie mix.
Or a meticulously assembled photo collage from your personal photos, or a small DIY herb garden in a repurposed container.
Or even something as simple as baking a personalized batch of someone's favorite brownies.
Or printing a custom photo calendar highlighting 12 shared memories. That personal effort just transcends any price tag.
And this principle links directly to keeping gifts practical and simple. We've all gotten that pricey, complicated gadget that just ends up gathering dust.
We have. The truth is, most people truly appreciate practical items they will actually use.
So we should focus on universally useful gifts. The examples given are so simple but effective. a high-quality, reusable water bottle, a book that perfectly aligns with their hobby.
Or just exceptionally comfy, durable socks. I mean, who doesn't love great socks?
Right.
And if you want to elevate that simplicity without exploding the budget, tailored gift baskets work wonders. Because you're focusing the entire budget, say $20, on a highly specific interest, the perceived value just skyrockets.
A curated selection of specialty tea bags and a favorite book, for example, feels deeply personal.
For sure. But perhaps the most enduring way to maximize impact while minimizing spending is prioritizing experiences over things.
The power of memories over temporary merchandise.
Think about this for a second. If you look back on the last 5 years, which gifts are you most grateful for? It's usually either a physical item you use every day, or it's an experience you shared with someone you love.
That's so true. The joy of physical objects fades pretty fast.
But the neurological impact of a shared experience can last for years.
And experience gifts are abundant. They're easy to personalize within a strict budget. We're talking about movie passes or tickets to a museum exhibit.
Or coordinating to catch a local concert. Or just planning a sunset picnic at their favorite spot.
The dual benefit is fantastic. They're easy to personalize and they completely avoid adding to home clutter.
Which is a secret source of stress for so many people.
Yeah. And when you're dealing with large families or friendship groups, the social pressure can just obliterate any budget, no matter how carefully you planned.
This system addresses that directly by suggesting you actively reduce gift volume.
This is the budget-friendly social negotiation.
Exactly. Moving away from buying 15 small, kind of meaningless gifts to streamlining the whole thing through a collective agreement, like Secret Santa or a gift swap.
The genius is in setting a clear, fun limit, say $20 or $30, that everyone agrees to. This ensures everyone still gets something meaningful and thoughtful, but your total spending footprint drops from, say, $300 to $30.
It's a collective decision to maximize joy and minimize financial anxiety.
And finally, let's talk about a surprising cost killer that many of us overlook.
DIY wrapping and cards.
Yes. Store-bought gift bags and greeting cards are designed for convenience, and that convenience has a really high price tag over the course of a year.
You're talking hundreds of dollars wasted on something that gets immediately thrown away.
The creative alternatives are beautiful and cost next to nothing. Using simple craft paper, maybe tying it with some twine you saved.
Adding a sprig of evergreen or drawing personalized doodles on the paper, it adds this high-touch, unique feel to the gift that says you cared about the presentation, not just that you grabbed a card at the checkout aisle.
It integrates that whole theme of creativity and care right through to the final presentation. It proves that thoughtfulness doesn't cost a fortune.
So we've implemented the plan, we've shopped early, and we've gifted thoughtfully. Now we come to the final necessary step in the cycle.
Reflection and refinement.
You have to close the loop.
After the dust settles on the year, the action item is simple. Pull out those planning folders and spreadsheets. You need to assess where you overspent and be honest about which gifts flopped.
This post-mortem assessment is key. Did that expensive gadget you broke the budget for go unused? Was the homemade item cherished and mentioned 6 weeks later? You use that data to adjust your future approach.
The long-term goal is just refinement. If you found that experience gifts were a huge hit, you adjust your budget allocation for next year towards experiences. You're constantly teaching yourself to save more and give smarter.
And if we connect this back to the bigger picture, the synthesis is clear. Cutting $1,000 a year isn't about feeling deprived or becoming stingy.
Not at all.
It's achieved through structured planning, consistent effort, and a massive shift toward creativity and care. You learn a gift with purpose.
And that ensures your thoughtfulness shines through while your bank account stays healthy. You have the framework now.
You can start today.
Set up that tickler file and stash your first $10.
And here's a provocative closing thought for you to mull over. Now that you've seen the power of prioritizing meaning, what is the most meaningful experience, not thing, you could plan for a loved one next year?
And set that specific goal right now in your new savings stash.
Something to think about.
Ready to see how much you can save this year? Find out more at www.pitcot.com.
Remember to subscribe to our channel if you haven't, and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads.
And please press the like button if you love our show. It really helps in the recommendation algorithm so others can access it too. Thank you for listening to the Pitcot Podcast. I will leave a link in the description below. Thank you for being there with us.